On May 17th of 2014, Admiral McRaven addressed the graduating class of the University of Texas at Austin. And he shared 10 principles that he learned during his Navy SEAL training that helped him overcome the challenges of that training, as well as the different challenges he faced during a very long naval career and his life as well. His commencement speech on YouTube has over 10 million views. So if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, I really encourage you to watch it. It's very inspiring. And he actually, out of that commencement speech, a book came to be called, it's entitled, Make Your Bed, Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. He shares the first principle. Each day upon rising, he had to make his bed, being certain the corners were tucked in, the pillow properly placed, and the extra blanket just so. Why did a SEAL training warrior have to perform such a mundane task at the beginning of his day? Because it was something that he did. And whatever the day held, whether it would be a fantastic day or a day that was full of struggle, he would always come back to a bed that he had made. And he comes to the conclusion after this first principle that doing the right thing matters. And doing the right thing, especially at the beginning of the day, matters. And so I ask us all the question as we think about that principle that Admiral McRaven shares with us, what is the right thing in the kingdom of God? What does that look like? Well, I want to invite you along with me to look at your gospel lesson today, because you'll notice in there that Jesus uses some very specific words. And you'll notice that whenever Jesus uses the word blessed in the scripture, that is what the right thing is. That's what you want to be doing. And whenever Jesus says something isn't blessed, that is the thing that you don't want to be doing. It's very simple that way, and I love it. So what we read here today is, he says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. And this whole idea of being poor and being hungry actually is communicating the idea, not so much those who are poor materially or hungry physically, but he's talking about spiritually. And he's sharing this in the context of the crowd. You remember, he begins this teaching extemporaneously as all of these people are coming around him, and he's overcome with the sense of how blessed this moment is. And so he begins to share with the disciples, he begins to share with the people present there how blessed they are, because they are poor. They understand their poverty and their need for the Lord. They understand that they have a hunger for spiritual things, and they're coming to Jesus to meet those needs. You'll notice in this story that they're coming to the right place. It says that Jesus was so full of power that as soon as these people came around them, they began to be delivered from evil spirits. They began to be healed. I imagine some of them maybe had heard about the miracle, the fishes and the loaves. Maybe they were expecting a very great lunch or brunch that day, whatever the case might be. But God was moving in miraculous ways through his son, Jesus Christ, in that moment. And blessed were the people that were there that knew their need of the Lord in a very clear and powerful way. And so he's speaking about that today. And he's speaking about people that know their need for the Lord's love, his grace, and his presence in their lives. Let me share with you a little secret. Every human being is poor in spirit. Some of them just don't know it. Every human being is hungry, not just physically, but spiritually as well. And that is a very normal thing about being a human being. There is absolutely nothing wrong with being hungry and being poor. Those are natural states of our reality, not only materially sometimes, but certainly supernaturally and spiritually. And Jesus says, blessed are you who understand that, who realize that, and who come to the Lord that your need would be met. And that's where the rub comes, doesn't it? There are so many ways to have those needs fulfilled. You know, that's one of the reasons why I think we have so many people running around in our culture who are struggling with addiction. That is a way that people try to fill that hunger or try to mask the poverty and the pain that they have in their life. They try to medicate it. And it's a way that many people use. The only problem with that is that you'll find if you're not really filling the hunger or the poverty in your life with the right thing, what you'll always find is that at the end of consuming whatever it is you're taking in, you'll be even more hungry. You'll feel even more empty. And at the same time, you'll be destroying your life and the lives of everybody else around you. And so those are just some signs. Those are some symptoms that you're not nourishing yourself the right way. Again, if we are doing things in our life that are trying to feed these places in our life of love, of care, of nurture, in ways that are sinful, there'll be a sense of conviction, a sense of, you know what, I'm not blessing this. You're not heading in the right way. Try it my way. And as we do, God will bless that. And there'll be a sense of being full and a sense of love and a sense of, yes, I'm blessed and I'm following the Lord and I'm moving in the right way. So I want to ask us all a very simple question here today. Do you know your need of God? Do you know that in the depth of your spirit? Have you experienced that in the depth of your life? And maybe even more importantly, is your need for God transforming your life? Is your poverty of spirit, is your hunger bringing you to God? Because again, as I was sharing earlier, our poverty and our hunger can take us to a lot of different places. And we see that in our world today, don't we? It could be to places of power. It could be to places of materialism. It could be to places of gambling or alcohol or drug addiction, or you could just fill in the blank. It could be places wherever we might want to go, but don't ultimately bring us to the person of Jesus Christ. So again, the most important thing for you and I to be honest about in our own lives right now as we're looking at this is, where is your poverty and your hunger taking you? And again, for many of you, for the most part, it's taking you, I trust it's taking you to the Lord, and that's wonderful and that's great, and I want to encourage you in that poverty and the hunger to go to the Lord. But are there certain places in your life where you're not going to the Lord? You're still going to that thing, whatever it might be, to satisfy that hunger, because that's what you've been doing for a long time. And right now through this message and over a period of time, God's been speaking to you and saying, you know what, I'm not blessing that. I'm not there, but I'm over here. And yes, it's going to be a change for you. Yes, it's going to be a new step for you. Yes, there's going to be some death for you in that and some struggle. But this is where my blessing is. Come and join me. See? Is your need for God transforming your life in relationship to Him? And one of the things that you and I think is very important for you and I to affirm is that this hunger that we have in life, these hungers as human beings, this poverty of spirit that is uniquely ours as human beings on this journey can only be met in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, as believers, as we affirm that Jesus Christ is Lord, we do not do that with a sense of arrogance. We do not do that with a sense that we're better than anybody else, because we are not. We are all sinners at the foot of the cross, everybody. But what we do affirm unashamedly, clearly, loudly, for all the world to hear, is that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What we do affirm is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the living God, that He died upon the cross for our sins, that He rose from the dead. We heard this today in the second lesson. Paul said, you know what, if Jesus has not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. We of all people are to be the most pitied, because we are believing something that is a falsehood. And your sins are not forgiven. You're not going to be raised from the dead. And you might as well, in so many words, go home and do whatever you want, because it's not going to matter anyways. But then he closes it out. But he has risen from the dead. He is the Messiah of the living God. And you see, he's the one religious leader who has done that. There is no other faith, there is no other group, there is no other philosophy that claims their leader rose from the dead. We're the only ones that do, and we believe that in faith, and it makes all the difference in our faith. And that's why we affirm that he is the source of life. He is the source of our riches. He is the source of our treasures. He's the source. He's the one. He's the stream that will nourish every need that we have and every other human being's. There's a reason why he's appearing to Muslims in dreams. It's because they need to come to Jesus. There's a reason why he's come before atheists before and revealed himself to them on their deathbed. It's because they need Jesus. You think Jesus would be more tolerant? You think Jesus would be more equivocal and welcoming of all the different philosophies and the religions of the world? There's just one problem. He's the Messiah of the living God. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. I did not say it. I'm in sales, not management. I'm not, you know what? I would have done it differently. But you know what the reality is? We needed a redeemer. We needed a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. We needed Jesus. Oh, we need him. And the world needs him. And we live in a world that still does not want to hear that message, even within the church. But I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep proclaiming it, because he was the one for me that makes all the difference in my life, definitely, and in your life as well. And so, amen. So how do you make your bed spiritually? How do you do that? Well, let me make a suggestion to you. I realize that a lot of you are thinking of different ways to do that. You're already coming up with ideas of what you want to do, and that's great. But let me make a suggestion to you about how you can make your bed and change your life spiritually. And may I make a suggestion that to start your day with this at the beginning of your day. You might not be a morning person, but whatever time you get up, start your day with this. Nourishing your spirit with light. Spend some time in the light at the beginning of your day and nourishing your spirit in the light. However your night went, however your day went the day before, however your life is going right now, I want to encourage you along with me to spend time nourishing your spirit with the light. And so how do you do that? Well, you know, one of the ways that you do that is you read the light. This is the word of God. It says in the Psalms that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that it is a lamp for these decisions right now and a light unto my path and to what's coming as well. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable, I'll give you the summation, for our spiritual lives. And do you realize this is unlike any book that you will read? It's not a Harlequin romance. It's not a James Michener novel, although there's a lot of great stuff out there to read, and I read it too. But this is a book that is alive. It is a spiritual book. It has an anointing on it. So that when you open up this book and you begin to read the Word of God, what automatically happens in that moment is there is a spiritual connection between you and the living God that takes place. Boom. It happens. And God begins to speak to you. I'm glad for the devotionals that all of you do. But you know how big organic is right now? Organic's really big. I grew up on the farm, so we lived on organic for the most part. But this is organic. Right, Skip? Organic, that's one of our words, man. Organic, it's a big word. This is organic. This is the source. You read all the devotionals you want, and they're great. There's some great devotionals out there, but you need to be in the Word of God every day. You need to be in God's Word every day. Where do you start? Gospel of John. I would suggest the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Read a chapter a day. And then after you read John, go to the Psalms. And just read one psalm a day. And you know what? If you're going through a great time, if you're going through a struggle, it doesn't matter to me. Find a psalm that speaks to you. And then when nobody's in the house, pray it out loud. Scream it out loud. My God, why you let me go through this? You know, there's a psalm like that. Lord, you're my shepherd. Lead me beside the still waters. I seem to remember a psalm like that. 23, right? You can make it your psalm. This is your book. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Let's talk about this. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I seem to remember talking about that with you a few weeks ago. And I shared with you the reality that that was actually a play on word. He was talking about logos. And so what was being communicated through the Word of God in John 1 is that not only was Jesus the Word of God from the very beginning that was spoke forth from the Lord and involved in creation, but Jesus is also contained in the Word of God. This is a revelation of Jesus. And you will meet Jesus here in a way that is living and spiritual and unlike any other place. Why do you think it was that when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he spoke to him God's word? Do you think he thought, well, that would be a nice thing to say to him. I think I'll just go ahead and do this. It sounds like a good idea. Or I'll try this to begin with. No, it was because Jesus is the Word of God. And it was out of the very abundance of his heart that he spoke those words in relationship to Satan's temptations. And the reality was the Word of God will always trump Satan's word every time. The light of God will always trump the darkness of evil every time. And the same holds true to this very day. You need to get in the Word of God every day. You're going to eat today. You're going to drink today. Some of you got a brunch coming up. You're checking your watch. My gosh, Father Joe, get going. I got a brunch coming up. You're going to be eating pretty soon. You're going to be drinking pretty soon. But you know what? Your spirit is famished. It's dying because you have not been feeding on the Word of God every day. Make your bed. That's the big mistake people make spiritually. That's the big mistake Christians make, is they think they don't need to do the little things because it's little, it's not big. Oh, I'm going to do something big for God. Well, let me just share something with you. You're never, ever going to do anything big for God until you start with the little things with God. And that's actually spending time with him. That's the big thing. Everything else comes from that. You can actually have everything else as far as I'm concerned. I'll take the time with him. So spend time reading the light, bathing in the light, letting God's word speak to you. And again, I've been reading this thing, studying this thing, writing about this thing all of my life. And I'm telling you, when I go into the Word each and every day, it's like sometimes there's like a light bulb goes on in my head. I've read the verse 100 times. I'm not exaggerating. I'll read that thing, and it's like a light goes on. And God shows something to me that I never saw before. You ever had this happen before? After all these years, and it's like, hey, Joe, did you see that? I never saw that before. I know. Do you see that? I see that. That's what that means. And that's what that means in this situation. And I get light and revelation. That's this word, man. That's this word. That's how important this is. I know I'm spending some time here, but actually I could spend all day with this, just on the word with you guys, and it would just be the beginning. But I won't do that because my time is limited. I know. But read the light. Read the light. There's light here. You will meet God here in a way you can't meet him anywhere else. And as you do that, pray the light. Pray the word of God. Lord, I'm feeling lonely right now. I'm going through a tough time, but I'm reminded that you're my shepherd. Again, will you lead me beside still waters? Will you feed me at those green pastures? Pray the word. I've read that you're the word, that the word was with God and the word is God. Word of God, will you come into my heart and bring forth your light of love and grace and mercy, your forgiveness and grace in this moment. And then pray in wisdom, God's word, in terms of 1 Corinthians 13, praying that God's love and joy and peace would fill your heart and fill the hearts of those that are around you. Speak love, speak healing, speak grace, speak joy. You're part of God's creative word. God is moving through you. God's spirit is in you. And what comes out of your mouth is incredibly important. Do you want darkness coming out of your mouth or light coming out of your mouth? And let me be honest, I have both come out of my mouth too. But when the darkness comes out, you know what? God's pretty quick about, hey, you might want to shut your mouth right now because that's not good. You might want to actually repent for what it came out of your mouth, which I usually do, and then we get back to the right stuff, the light. God's pretty quick about that with me. Remember, pray in the light, which means speaking, but also listening. Have you ever been in a conversation before where you've been polite, you're listening to what somebody's saying to you, and you're about ready to share how you're doing, but then they don't even spend any time listening to you. They just kind of leave and go on. Isn't that the rudest thing in the world? I mean, really, that is so rude. But do you realize most Christians treat God that way? Think about it for a moment. Most of us let God know what we need. We're busy talking during our prayer time. We're busy letting God know our list, his to-do list for us. Done. We leave. That is not a conversation. Prayer is a conversation. If you aren't in conversation, it is not prayer. It is not prayer. So again, I want to encourage you as you pray with the light to spend about a minute just listening. Zip your mouth. Zip your brain. Ask God for the grace just to be still and listen to him. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. And part of the reason is he wants you to listen twice as much as you speak. Hear that. Could that be true? I like it. Listen to what God has to speak to you in your spirit, through his word, through what's going on in his life. Let me share something with you, I believe. God has been dying to communicate some things to you. But you're not ready to listen. And God is not going to waste his breath on you until you're ready to listen to what he has to say. Now that's a really important word. Hear that one. Read the light, pray in the light, and then share the light. Share what you get in this time with God of dwelling in the light. Share with others what God is speaking to you. Share it with your presence. Share it with your prayers. Go out of this time full of the light, full of his grace, into the rest of your day. And be open to what God will do through you as you share the light. You know what, beloved? You're very special people. And I'm so grateful to share this journey with you. I leave you with this thought. Make your bed. Make your bed. Begin your day spiritually with God. Begin it in the light, being filled with the light, in the word, and in prayer, and in sharing that light with others. That is your destiny. That is who God has called you to be, in the most beautiful, wonderful, loving, and joyful way. May we be about that with a sense of faith, in a way that is life-changing for us and for our world.